Good to see each of you in the house of God this afternoon to support these meetings. We want to continue our studies right away this afternoon, mastering the English Bible, the prophetic books. We've covered a lot of ground, and we are in the book of Ezekiel. We looked at Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And we've been in Ezekiel for a while. We want to go to the section Ezekiel 25 through 32, which is God's witness against the nations. As we saw, all of these prophets, Israel's prophets, were not only prophets to Israel, but also prophets to the whole world. And we have prophecies here against Ammon, against Moab and Seir, against Edom, against Philistia, against Tyre, and against Egypt. And I want to look at one of these, Tyre, Ezekiel 26 through 28. We're just looking at some of the highlights of these passages, these prophecies. Ezekiel 26, this is one of the amazing, wonderful prophecies. The prophet seeing the events of the future and describing them in great detail. Ezekiel 26, 1 through 14. It came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because that Tyrus hath said against Jerusalem, Aha, she's broken, that was the gates of the people. She's turned unto me, I shall be replenished. Now she is laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes his waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus, and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her, and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And it shall become a spoil to the nations, and her daughters which are in the field shall be slain by the sword. They shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings, from the north with horses, with chariots, and with horsemen, and companies, and much people. He shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field. And he shall make a fort against thee, and cast a mount against thee, and lift up the buckler against thee. And he shall set engines of war against thy walls, and with his axes he shall break down thy towers. By reason of the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover thee. Thy walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen, and of the wheels, and of the chariots. When he shall enter into thy gates as men enter into a city, wherein is made a breach. With the hooves of his horses shall he tread down all thy streets. He shall slay thy people by the sword, and thy strong garrison shall go down to the ground. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise. And they shall break down thy walls, and destroy thy pleasant houses. And they shall lay thy stones, and thy timber, and thy dust in the midst of the water. And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harp shall be no more heard. And I will make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Amazing prophecy given in the year of Jerusalem's fall. 586 B.C., 11th year of Zedekiah. One of the most amazing, fascinating prophecies in the Bible. This city, Tyre, was renowned in history. One of the wealthiest cities ever to exist. And it was the head, together with Sidon, was the head of the Phoenician commercial empire that stretched out across the Mediterranean, especially the northern coast of Africa, and the great city Carthage was part of that. And the Phoenicians. They were marvelous mariners. They were very, very good mariners. They, at one point, some of them circumnavigated all the way around Africa in those ancient times. They went out as far as England regularly and Spain on their in their commercial enterprises on their little ships. And they were famous for that. Tyre means rock. And it's first mentioned in Joshua 19:29, which goes back to 1440 B.C. And it was already called the strong city. So Tyre was an ancient, fortified, strong city, very, very rich because of her commercial enterprises and her purple. She held for centuries, she held the secret to the purple dye and to make the most expensive cloth that's ever existed on earth. It was worth its weight in gold and was only worn by the rich and the powerful. The term born in the purple means born in a rich family, usually the nobility. Tyre. In this passage, Ezekiel 26-28, extended prophecy about this city. We just want to look at some highlights. But in chapter 27 is the most extensive, detailed description of the Phoenician trading empire in all of ancient history. This right here, this chapter of the Bible. And it fits perfectly everything that is known outside of the Bible about this great empire. And a merchant of the people of many isles, verse 3. A merchant. Merchants mentioned three times in that prophecy. Yeah, that was her main thing. She was a merchant city. She knew how to sell stuff. Trading. She set up trading empire, little trading colonies across, especially northern Africa, the coast of the Mediterranean. Merchant. Many isles. Isles here does not mean islands. It means nations far away from Israel, oftentimes in the prophecies. And it says, she's in the midst of the seas, verse 4. Thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Yes. The island part of Tyre we're going to look at was indeed in the midst of the seas. And she did her commercial enterprises in the midst of the seas. She's a seafaring people. Ezekiel describes Tyre's merchant ships, verses 5 through 9. Amazing description. Such detail. They've made all shipboards of fir trees of Sinar. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. And so he's describing the kind of wood that each part of the ship was made from. Specific kind of wood from a specific location. Of the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars. The oars had to be extremely strong, but a little bit flexible. And that oak was perfect. Bashan, east of the Sea of Galilee. The company of the Asherites have made thy benches of ivory brought out of the Isles of Shittim. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt. These must have been beautiful, beautiful ships. Not just, functional, beautiful, beautified. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. Blue and purple from the Isles of Elisha was that which covered thee. And so these are ships. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners. Thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee were thy pilots. Pilots, yes, navigators, famous in history. Ezekiel tells us about them. Where they came from, the inhabitants. The ancients of Gibeon and the wise men thereof were in thee, thy caulkers. And so there were men from this place, Gibal, which was up the coast north of Tyre. These are Canaanite people. And they're called Phoenicians in history, but God calls them Canaanites. And they were very clever at caulking a ship. And you've got to have it caulked properly or your ship sinks no matter how good the timber is. Caulking. And all thy ships of the sea with thy mariners were in thee to occupy thy merchandise. And it was her ships that made it possible for her to occupy the trading centers and make such great amounts of money. And then he talks about, and also in verses 25 through 27, he further describes these ships. The ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market, and thou wast replenished and made very glorious in the midst of the seas. Yes, you island city, in the midst of the seas. Replenished and made very glorious. That means beautiful, rich. Thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, and thy mariners and thy pilots, thy caulkers, and the occupiers of thy merchandise, and all thy men of war that are in thee, and in thy company which is in the midst of thee, shall fall into the midst of the seas in the day of thy ruin. And so God describes the merchant ships and the mercenary soldiers, verse 10 through 11. Tyre hired soldiers. She was a merchandiser. She wasn't a military nation, so she hired soldiers. And that's described here. And where they came from, verse 10, they of Persia and of Lud and of Phut were in thine army, thy men of war. They hanged the shield and helmet in thee. They set forth thy comeliness. And so they would be all decked out. And their shields would be beautiful and painted and beautiful and made of silver and whatnot. And they would hang them on the walls of the city to show them off. The men of Arvad with thine army were upon thy walls round about. And the Gebedans were in thy towers. And these were famous men that they hired to be their protectors, mercenary soldiers. They hang their shields upon the walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. Everything about that city was perfect. That's amazing. That is a description right out of ancient history. Detailed description of the merchant ships. Not the warrior ships, but the merchant ships of that time. And every detail about Tyre is there. It's important to understand that Tyre is both a historical city and an allegory. It was a historical city. Everything that's described here is history. We're looking at history. And the very time of Ezekiel, he was describing things. But it's more than that. There's four chapters of Bible prophecy devoted to the downfall of Tyre. There's also Isaiah 23. That's a lot of scripture. What's that all about? And one reason is that Tyre is a picture of the world. And so, again, we have a double fulfillment. Just like Babylon is a picture of the world, and Egypt is a picture of the world, this wicked world system, this anti-God system. And so these prophecies describing Tyre's judgment are, yes, they happened, but they're looking beyond that to the time of the end and the mystery Babylon and the Antichrist kingdoms. So this is not just old stuff. Tyre, illustration of the world, their pride. And so if we looked at Isaiah, which I don't want to do. I want to keep moving along. But you have a study here in Isaiah 23 and then these other passages about Tyre. And we see the connection between Tyre and the world. This whole world system. It's pride. It's commercial greed. Covetousness. It's sensual pleasure. It's worldly wisdom. It's hatred of God's people. And so looking beyond the historical things. Now, we read in Ezekiel 26, the fall of Tyre. And this is an incredible prophecy. It was written before it happened. It's this prophecy. And Ezekiel's looking into the future, but the detail is just amazing because a lot is known from secular history about this event. It's famous. And so the prophecy, Ezekiel 26, 3 through 6, begins with an overview of Tyre's destruction. We go back to Ezekiel 26. Every detail was fulfilled. And so the overview in verses 3 through 6, "Behold, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and I will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes his waves to come up." Yes, army after army. That's exactly what happened. Not just one time. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. They did, as we will see. "And I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock." It happened. Alexander the Great did it. "And it shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea." It did, and it is. That's what it still is. If you go to Lebanon, you go to the ruins of Tyre, they spread nets there today. It's poor, and it's a fishing place. Little fishing shops. They did. And that's an overview. But then we come into the details. The details, beginning in verses 7 through 11, we see Nebuchadnezzar's assault on Tyre. That's a fact of history. Fact of history that Nebuchadnezzar, and 586 to 572. 586, what major event that every Christian should know about happened in 586, not this. 586, earlier that year, well, the destruction of Jerusalem. And that same year, Nebuchadnezzar's on a rampage, and he goes up against Tyre, and he brings his engines of war, and he brings his chariot, and he brings all of his mighty soldiers, and he besieges the city, and he conquers the city. But that's not the end. Verses 7 through 11, that's not the end. That's just the beginning for Tyre. But there, Nebuchadnezzar's name, the king of Babylon, and what he did is described here. And how he's going to destroy, he's going to kill the daughters in the field. So as armies come, they kill whoever's out there who hasn't escaped. They did. And he's going to cast them out. He's going to besiege. He's going to build siege ramps. And so his siege engines can be rolled up against the walls and the gates and start pounding them. He did all this stuff. Abundance of his horses. He's going to have so many horses, so much cavalry, that the dust is just going to cover everything. Verse 10. And the walls will shake at the noise of and the vibration of the chariots and the movement of this great army. This is just great detail. What language again we see here. And they're going to slay the people with the sword. They're going to destroy the strong garrisons. Verse 11. So Tyre's hired soldiers are going to be defeated. And the garrison, that's where soldiers live. Their strongholds, they'll go down to the ground. And they'll make a spoil of the riches and make a prey of the merchandise. Break down thy walls. Destroy thy pleasant houses. That happened. But then, that's not it. That's not all. Alexander the Great's assault on Tyre, which is very famous in secular history, and described in detail by secular historians of that day. Alexander the Great was a magnificent general. Ezekiel 26, 12 through 14, and this was one of his greatest, most celebrated victories. 12 through 14. "And they shall make a spoil of thy riches and make a prey of thy merchandise. Now notice the change in pronouns. The part about Nebuchadnezzar, starting in verse 7, all the pronouns there are he, because it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar at the head of his armies. He, verse 8. He, verse 9. His horses, verse 10. Verse 11. He shall tread down. He shall slay. All right, fine. But in 12, the pronouns are plural, because this is a different group of people here. This is Alexander and his group with Hood. They. And so there are hundreds of years passed between the first part of this fulfillment and the second part, which is often true in Bible prophecy. The time can just jump all over the place. And again, there were no verse divisions. So it didn't look like this as Ezekiel wrote it. Verse divisions are very helpful. I'm glad they're there. We can find something, but they were not there originally. And this just flows together. Now, Alexander, verse 12, and they shall make a spoil of thy riches and make a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses. And they shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust in the midst of the water. And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harps shall be no more heard, and I will make thee like the top of a rock. Like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Why? By the way, why? Verse 2. Son of man, because that Tyrus hath said against Jerusalem, aha, she's broken down, that was the gates of the people. Everybody had to come through Israel to get anywhere, going back and forth between Africa and Europe. And she was the gates of the people. And not now, Israel's destroyed by Babylon. Good, good. And now everyone will turn to me, and all that commercial enterprise will turn to me. And because she mocked God's people, God said, I'm going to do this to you, Tyre. And so again, God uses pagan nations to judge Israel, but then God always judges those nations. Now, we want to look at pictorial study of this. Alexander, Tyre and Alexander. Ready? I don't want to do very much. I just want to. You going to be watching? Tyre and Sidon. And we're located north of Israel, where the chief cities of the Phoenician Empire. And trading empires, not called that in the Bible. These are Canaanites, actually. Phoenician colonies established all across the northern coast of Africa, that blue part. The Greek trading centers were up in the north part, and that's the green coloring. All across that great sea and beyond, those Phoenician ships traveled throughout that region. Tyre means rock, first mentioned in Scripture, as we saw in Joshua 19:29, about 1440 B.C., and was already a strong city. And the city had two parts. There was the city on the coast, on the mainland, and then there was a city on the island, about a half mile off the coast. And the island had two harbors, one in the north called Sidon, because it pointed toward the city of Sidon, north of Tyre, and one toward the south called the Egyptian port, because it pointed toward Egypt. And magnificent harbors. The island city was surrounded by walls, high walls, 150 feet high. Those are some walls. the outer walls on the side of the mainland, so facing toward the mainland, 150 feet high, with battlements and towers. The Ezekiel talks about the pleasant houses. That's talking about rich men's houses, surrounded by gardens and orchards. On that island, the center of the city, there were great temples built with huge blocks of stone, roofed with cedar. Tyre was conquered. And that's what Ezekiel is describing. Conquered by Alexander the Great in 332 B.C. And one of the most amazing military feats in history. Because Alexander, the people escaped. They went out to the island. And they started thumbing their nose at Alexander. Can't touch us over here. That was the wrong thing to do, actually. Some things are stupid, and that was stupid. And so Alexander decides to construct a causeway. At the time, there was no causeway that we see here. So he decides he will construct a causeway and go out there and destroy that city. And it was 200 feet wide. That's a big causeway to build out into the ocean for a half mile. And how did he build it? Scraped all the stuff off the mainland that pertained to that old city and scraped it off into the ocean. Exactly like the Bible says. He built that causeway over to the island. They shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses, and they shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust in the midst of the water. Yes, he did. And I will make thee like the top of a rock. That's what old Tyre became, because nothing was left. Alexander built the largest siege towers in history for that job. 20 stories tall, these siege towers, two of them. And he was going to roll them out, build his road out into the ocean, and run his siege towers up against those high walls. 20 stories high, they had to be that high because the walls were so tall. And he's going to destroy those walls and enter the city. That was his plan. He gained control of the sea around with a fleet of 225 ships. So he had control of the sea. There was nothing Tyre could do. She's locked in. And he mounted siege equipment and battering rams on ships. It was amazing engineering feat. Alexander finally gained entrance, to make the story short. Gained entry into Tyre, personally led his men into the city. He always led from the front. And that's why he was wounded numerous times, one reason. And killed, slaughtered, because Alexander was a slaughterer. Killed 8,000 Tyrians for thumbing their nose at him. 2,000 of them he crucified over on the mainland. 2,000 he crucified. Send a message. You don't oppose Alexander. He sold 30,000 of them into slavery. So here they are living in the lap of luxury in one of the greatest cities on earth. And the next day they are slaves to whoever would buy them. And that's the end of their life. To be treated however their purchasers please. Most people, by the way, have lived in abject slavery in human history. Tyre continued to exist, but it was never the crowning city ever again. It was never the head of an international trading empire. And then beginning in 64 B.C., Tyre was a Roman city. And Rome built a city there. One of the Roman kind of cities had a Cardo Maximus Boulevard, north-south boulevard. Colonnaded columns, porched columns all the way down the sides of it. Little remnants are seen here and there still today in some of these cities. And there are some ruins, Roman ruins still there. Tyre. But this is all over on the mainland. Tyre is where Jesus The only time he ever left Israel, Jesus went up to Tyre. And he had been rejected by this point, Mark 7. And he had been rejected. They had called it, they said he was demon-possessed. And so he just goes up to Tyre and saves that woman, heals her daughter and saves her. He just fed up with his own people, and he goes up to the Gentile dogs. And she said, well, even the dog can eat the scraps from the table, can't they? Her faith was magnificent. Anyway, that was Tyre, the remnants of Tyre. That causeway gradually filled in and grew. So today, the old island and the mainland are joined together. There is a satellite picture of it today. And so there's the causeway. It's all settled now. But there's nothing, you know, there's nothing magnificent about this city. It's just a very base town today. And there's the old hippodrome, which was the Roman ruin, in the Roman ruins. And there's the island, what's left of. And it's joined because of Alexander's causeway. And God's word prophesied that Tyre would be a place for fishermen to spread their nets. Ezekiel 26:14. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Here is 1839. And there's the nets. Spread upon the ruins of Tyre. 1870s. It was a fisherman's village. Today, it's a little town of no consequence. Largely a fishing village. Who would have guessed? So any of these things, but it took hundreds of years for the actual fulfillment, the whole fulfillment of it. And so skeptics will say, well, it wasn't right. Because it looks like it's going to happen altogether here in the prophecy. But it doesn't say it's going to happen altogether. Every detail of this was fulfilled. Fulfilled. All right, we'll stop there for this segment in our prophecy on Tyre. No, let's don't. Hold the horses. We got to use every minute here. Now, going back to the prophecy of Tyre, let's look at Ezekiel 28. One of two great prophecies here about the devil. Ezekiel 28:11-19. Talking about Tyre, but God is looking beyond Tyre to the real head of Tyre, who is Satan, God of this world. Ezekiel 28:11-19. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy the old covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. They may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. And this is looking beyond the king of Tyre that day. His name was Ethbaal. And Baal, their chief god, and the Baal to whom they offered child sacrifices by the thousands. Wicked people. But it's looking beyond the prince. He's the king of that time. Ethbaal is called the prince in Ezekiel 28:2. But here God is looking beyond that man to the real king, the spiritual power behind that wicked nation, who is Satan. And this is one of the two major passages on the history of Satan, the beginning, and the other being Isaiah 14. We see Satan's beginning in verses 12 through 15. He sealed up the sum. He was just perfect in beauty. We can't imagine what that might mean. In a fallen world, we know beauty, and it's all of God, but we don't know anything about the sum of beauty as the handiwork of God. He was created by God. He was full of wisdom. He didn't have all wisdom, but he was full of it. Just a brilliant and incredibly intelligent creature. Beautiful beyond imagination. Perfect in beauty. Verse 12. He's called the Shining One. The Shining One. He was in Eden, the garden of God. This is not Eden where Adam was. This is heavenly Eden. It's called paradise. Paul called it paradise. I was caught up into paradise. Heaven is a country. Heaven is called a paradise. Heaven is fabulously beautiful. The garden of God, the chief cherub was there. He had tabrets and pipes. He was associated with music. Satan was. Lucifer, before he became Satan. And we don't know exactly what that means, but we know what tabrets and pipes are. They're musical instruments. And somehow he was something very special in pertaining to music. He was created, verse 13. He's not eternal. He had a beginning. Everything is created other than God. He's the anointed cherub that covereth, verse 14. He was the chief cherub. We looked at cherubs yesterday, cherubims. We looked at them yesterday. Yesterday. Ezekiel's description. But Lucifer was the chief. He was the one that covereth. He was upon the holy mountain of God. That's another description of heaven, or some place in heaven. And it has stones of fire that he walked between. He was perfect in his ways until he sinned. Beginning of verse 15 through 17, we read his fall. There came a day when iniquity was found in him. Certain day. What happened? What happened, Lucifer? His heart was lifted up, verse 16. It was pride, Lucifer, it was pride. He was the original Narcissus, the Greek fable Narcissus, the god. This god, supposedly Narcissus, was so beautiful. And he went down by a pond and he saw his image and he fell in love with himself. Yeah, that happened. That was Lucifer. His wisdom was corrupted because of sin. And his wisdom is still there, but it's corrupted. And all of his wisdom is used for evil. And the very fact that we can defeat him is amazing. God said, take on the whole armor of God and stand. We can't see him. He's far more powerful than we are. He's wise and clever. But we can defeat him. We see his judgment, verses 16 through 19. He's going to be judged. He's going to be cast out. He's going to be laid before kings. He's going to be devoured by fire. He's going to be an astonishment. Yeah, that's all going to happen. And then he'll be no more. Where will he be?
Lake of fire. Cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and then the lake of fire. And so we stop there for our studies in Ezekiel.